Okay, Ross, thank you so much, and hello, everybody. Good to have you with us. It has surely been a hot week, you know, a hot 2 or 3 weeks lately. It's about 30-something days, I think, they've got us in. So we're going to go back to Acts 28. And I'm going to read you Acts 24 and 25 again, and then we'll start with 26, because we'll going to wind up with this part of Acts here concerning the Apostle Paul and the 2 years in his own hired place. I don't know if we can call it a house or what we call it, but it was something, I think, that the Philippians had made possible for Paul to have that. And I think if we could find out, then we would go back and realize that that there was a hand in it by either the Father or the Holy Spirit, or even the triune God that would give to Paul this necessary stuff for the winding up of Acts and winding up of Acts 28, and to realize that he had a little time off, a little time out, and what happened to him after that, I'm not really sure, but I think he was probably martyred by the Roman people again, because I understood that he had been turned loose for a little while. So then it wasn't long after that. It said Nero burnt Rome, but Paul might have been accused of that. I'm not sure. But I wouldn't doubt it in the least, because they were always after him. And when it said that some believed and some believed not, that was truly the way that these people thought and understood. And I watched part of this movie thing they've got on now that Ronnie had on the other night, and that gave me more concern about the distance that God's claim on for his people, that they had gone so far the other way till it just wasn't funny anymore. I mean, it was kind of like a soap opera for a while, but then it got to be even worse and worse and worse. And certainly Paul had to do a lot of things probably he didn't want to do in order to get through this part of it, to tell these people here what we're about to read to, as to, you know, what their situation is and was. And not only that, but we can go back a place or two and read scripture to show that he was right on as far as his salvation. God's salvation to us was his Son.
Amen.
Christ Jesus our Lord. And I always try to tell people that when I talk to them that don't really understand a lot about Scripture. I said, when you go from just Jesus, and then you go to Jesus Christ, and then when you get toward the mystery truth, then it becomes Christ Jesus, or the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's when you know you're getting close to the end of that particular dispensation that give us Christ for this short period of time that he was here on the earth, and his preaching and his testimony there. So let's go back and I'll read 24 and 25. It says that some believe the things that were spoken and some believe not. Now this has been the deal with the Jewish people, or Israel, or whatever you want to call them, for all this time. They were, certainly, they were many that did not believe that he was the one. And one really reason of that is that they were some that did come and say they were Christ and they weren't Christ. And that happened more than one time. That happened a lot of times. So much so that when Paul was down there and he went back to the temple and the people saw Paul and they thought he was one of the ones that had come to raid the temple again. And that's what got, and the guy said, "Oh yeah, I seen him in the temple. I seen Paul in the temple." And it really turned into a big deal because he had been 3 or 4 years in prison there before King Agrippa came in, and then he had all this journey in this ship that was going to dump him out over there. And so that was, and then whenever they got over there, then it seemed like it wasn't in a hurry to do anything much. So, and then Paul stayed in his own hired house 2 years and, chained to this guard and switched out. Between two guards, you know, in 24 hours. So, this is where we are. In verse 25, it says, "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word." And the one word was rightly divided. And it could be more than one word. And it says, "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying." And so that's where we ended up with our last study, the word "saying" there. And I'll just go ahead and we'll do the two verses together, because this is Isaiah 6, what is it, 9 and 10?
Yep.
Or 8 and 9, somewhere in Isaiah 6. It says, "See, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive." Well, we can break that down a little bit, because there is some Greek words here that probably we need to look at too. So go into these people and say, go unto this people and say, hearing, and that hearing equals in hearing, and that word in the Greek is echo, almost like echo, because sometimes in hearing you can get an echo according to where you are. But that shouldn't be hard to understand or hard to hear. He said, ye shall hear and shall not. And the word not there means by no means. Understand. And the word understand in the Greek is the word sunimia. And you can find that in the appendix 132 of Roman numerals 2, number 3. Because there's several there about understanding or knowing. And it says, and seeing. And see, generally in the Greek means bleepo. Bleepo. And it is in appendage 133. That's the next one on the page if you have a companion Bible or, you know, you can get a loose leaf appendix there if you have some other kind of Bible and you want to get it, you certainly can. I have one and it is wonderful to use because you don't have to turn your regular Bible so much and put something in it to tell you where you wanted to go or go back to. And this is uh 133 also, and it says from bleepo to see and not perceive. And one thing that I found in this study with the Apostle Paul, I think Paul could perceive things as good as anybody I know of that was in Scripture. He might not do the proper things, but certainly he didn't get caught off guard in his perception of what he was trying to get across to at least some of the people. And that not being able to perceive there in the Greek is the word eidon, E-I-D-O-N, eidon. And that's appendage 133 also, Roman numeral 1 and number 1, because that's the first one on the list. And those, I've just about wore my old companion Bible out, going back to around the 130s to 140s there.
There's a lot of definitions.
A lot of information there. A lot of information that we need to see and understand. But the word perceive there in the Greek is eidon, and it comes from appendage 6, and it's a figure of speech. In the figure of speech is polypetokon. Polypetokon, I think. And I'm not really good at these because I haven't been doing them all these years, which I should have been doing them, and I see now that I'm getting a little more of the picture because I'm beginning to get some of these things kind of worked out for my own self that I should have gotten involved in a long time ago. And we go to verse 27. So, seeing, you know, and saying, hearing, you shall hear, shall not Understand and seeing you shall see and not perceive. Verse 27. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart. See, three things. And should be converted, which is four things. And he said that I should heal them. So there's a number of things here that God has looked at him and said, okay, you're not doing this. And until you do, I can't heal you. I can't make you whole. Because you're not whole if you're still in sin. Because the Holy Spirit will not live in, he will live in or be with somebody in sin, but not be involved in that situation until you become a believer. Once you become a believer, then God will pour his blessings out upon you. But what good is it if God was pouring his blessing out on you and you're not a believer? Then all that's for naught.
Yep.
So this is why we go down the list of things here, and in my view, and we see that. So I go to my notes from 27, and it said, the heart of this people, in the word for people there in the Greek is laos, is waxed gross. And is waxed gross means, like some of us, has become fat. So, I guess.
Put me down for that.
You know, it to have a fat heart, you're not going to be around here very long if your heart is not, if it's enlarged or something. I don't know of anybody that's had heart trouble. They said, well, I had an enlarged heart. Well, you can almost say goodbye to them because it's just, they're not going to be there very long. And that word there, become fat, is pachyonomia. And, well, it's not, it's P-A-C-H, pachyonomia. And it says, and their ears, or with their ears, they hear heavily. Well, I can relate to that right now because I'm hearing a little heavenly, not heavenly, but heavily with my ears, because going through all this mess trying to get it out, and are dull of hearing. So that's another aspect of not being. Not having all your facilities working as they should, because you miss a whole lot when you can't see and you can't hear. And I, of course, I watched Ann do that, my wife do that. And it said, and their eyes they have closed. And in the Greek, the word closed there is kamino, lest they should, and I put in parentheses here, lest at any time, and that equals in the Greek, it means nepote. It means lest at that time, nepote, they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. If they got all this in order and that they should be converted, and converted there means to turn again unto God, because God meant for them to be His all the time, but they believe Him, and some decided they wouldn't. So, and to turn again is the Greek word epistrepho. To turn again, epistrepho. And I should heal them. Because in order to heal them, they have to be converted. They have to come again to a place that God can deal with them. And I feel for my own particular situation that people need to make a vow to God, because He requires a vow. Because when He makes promises to people, He can say, if you will, I will. But then if you don't, God can say, well, I will anyway, whether you do or not. So I think the vow was very important. And Paul, you know, part of his problem there was when he took a vow and he went to get that vow taken care of, the way that the Jews required in the temple, then that's where he really got into the trouble here, which brought on the mystery truth out to the people that now we're dealing with and looking at, or Paul's dealing with and looking at, to get them to come to the understanding. And we just read some would, some would not. And I read somewhere something that said that when that happened and part of the Jews left, and they got down the road a little bit talking about it, and they turned around and come back and got the ones out of there that were going to believe, because they didn't want them to believe either. So that makes a lot of sense. And I don't know where I read that note from or where it came from and how it came, but I still remember that. And I thought it might have been a long time between the first meeting and the second meeting. But no, I don't. I think the first meeting came pretty quick, and then the next one, it wasn't but a few days. But the word got around that Paul was there, and he was having these meetings, and so I think that was pretty close together. I think these two meetings were fairly close together. Maybe within a week, I don't know. But that would have seemed like that would have been a good time, because he had the opportunity there. And it didn't matter if he was chained with a chain. He wasn't going anywhere anyway, so he was there to see Caesar. And that's what he finally wound up doing. But it took a long time before they turned him loose to a point where he could get out and do things. But see, during this time, then he really got the rest of the picture, I think. Because whether it was Jew or Gentile that come to his own hired house, it didn't make any difference. He could tell each one what their situation was and what the outcome would be.
Probably even on a personal level, yeah.
And so it kind of got to be to where Well, but if they wanted a kingdom hope, if they still wanted to stick with a kingdom hope, he could tell them what it was. But he said, but, you know, I think he could say, well, but let me show you what I know now. Because I don't think he was constrained there, according to the rest of the scripture here, which is only 3 or 4 verses. I don't think he was constrained as to what he could say or what he couldn't say. Because these guys that were there with him, that were going back to Caesar all the time, was giving him the picture of what was going on. And so, I think Caesar finally knew and he knew, but he probably didn't understand, because that wouldn't be part of his deal, other than to say, well, he didn't do nothing to be killed about, so we're going to have to turn him loose sometime. But they kept him for a long time, or at least he was there. I don't know if the chain was still on him. I don't know how long the chain was on him, but evidently he was in his own hired house, which somebody was paying for it. And the Philippians, and Paul had said when he come to Philippi and talked to these people, there wasn't that many of them, but evidently they made it available to him for a pretty long period of time, if they did it for 2 years. And so, you know, if that's how God meant for it to be, then it was made that way. It took care of itself in that situation. So we get to verse 29. Or 28, I'm sorry. Let's see. 28 says, be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Now, that is a very important verse of Scripture, because Paul is coming right out and saying, look, if you don't do this, then God cannot heal you and take care of you unless you're converted, unless you turn around and get back in God's favor. And he said, be it known, therefore. Be it known is the Greek gnostos, therefore. And we've talked about this word therefore down through the years. And we really need to stop and think about it a little bit, because when you look at therefore, you really need to give it some thought as to why it's there for. That's the reason there is to slow down, or like you at a railroad crossing, you're to stop, look, and listen, because there's places, if you just go barreling across the railroad track, you might not make it. So, to stop, look, and listen sometimes is a great thing, because salvation, or the, it says, stop, look, and listen unto you, laos, or people, that the salvation And salvation there in the Greek is soterion. And we find that in Luke 2, and we're going to go back and read it. We got time. And it's there in Ephesians 6. And if you got a companion Bible, in Ephesians, it's on page 1776. It says that the salvation of God and I had to make a note in here because it says that the salvation of God is sent. Well, a lot of people think that salvation is there for the taking. But the Word of God doesn't work that way. You receive salvation. Salvation is a gift. And the gift is the Son of God. It's what you receive. You receive from His Son this gift. And he says, and this gift is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. So that's how important it really is, because the gift, there is the G-E-N that you see all down from Genesis on down, because everything that God gave to man before He created him, He had put there in the garden for mankind, and they could have lived forever if not for the sin, for the going away from God's plan and purpose and His will. And so, but He had already made arrangements with the Son to give His life. And that's the reason that when He got on the cross or made the prayer or wherever He done that, He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do because they don't understand it. And if you don't have these things that we're talking about here, the heart, the eyes, and the ears, and the understanding, then it's not going to be worth anything to you. So why should God give you a gift if you're not going to use it? And I know He can. And I know sometimes they do. When the Son of God was here, He come to heal. He come to take care of the things that people didn't have on the earth. And that was His teaching too, with Lazarus, with Ronnie's thing last week. You know, it had to be to the people that they could see it. Well, why did you bring us down here? Why did we go to here, to here, to here? Well, and then Christ appeared to him for the 40 days after that, after He was resurrected. After God gave him His life back, He said, you stay here till the Comforter come, and the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And it now is under the auspices of Christ Jesus. Not Jesus Christ, or not Jesus, as you see in Luke 2 and 3, because they said His name would be Jesus, and He come to His people. Well, His people didn't accept Him. And so this is the reason why we're here, to make this plain and simple that you can have a better resurrection through what Jesus Christ did for us. Or Christ Jesus did for us. Yeah. by giving us the opportunity to take away our sins, and that the Holy Spirit could indwell us and give us direction and give us hope and give us the understanding of how to apply God's Word to other people. And so that was something that should not be overlooked ever. And it says, verse 29, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And it says in the notes in the Companion Bible that the text omitted this verse. But we have it here, and it's not in parentheses, but maybe it should have been. Because, and when he, Paul, had said these words or these things, the Jews departed and had great reasoning or disputation among themselves. And there's only one word there, it was in the Greek. And disputation was the word. And it was sutitisis among themselves. And then we get to verse 30, and it says, and Paul dwelt. That word dwelt there is the word meno, equals continued. And Paul continued, basically, 2 whole years, from AD 61 to 63. And that word for that time is diatia in the Greek. In his own hired house, in his hired house there in the Greek is milstenomai. That means for this were provided by the Philippians in Philippians 4:10 through 20 and others. Believers, and received all that came in unto him. And then verse 31 says this, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So, this was the rest of the story for Paul, basically. Because preaching there is appendage 121-1, the kingdom of God. And teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. And confidence there is boldness. And in the Greek, that is parrhesia. No man forbidding him. And that word is akolutos. No man forbidding him. Forbidding him is not akolutos. You don't see many of these Greek words start off with A-K-O. That was kind of unusual when I saw that. Now, since we've got a little bit of time left, because that's the end of Acts that we've been into for quite a while. But turn with me back to Luke. I got it marked, I think. Yeah. Got it marked back to Luke 2. Turn with me back to Luke 2 for a little bit. And I think Luke got a lot of his understanding from Titus. Because, you know, we didn't show up in Luke till about the middle of Acts. But it says this in 2:25, after the people saw and heard the angel saying, "Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." It said, "And it came to pass the angels were gone away from them into heaven." And the shepherds said one to the other, "Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which had come to pass." Well, there was somebody over there. And that somebody has got a name, and his name is Simeon. When we get down to verse 25 of Luke 2, if you got a companion Bible, it's on 14:36. And it said, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout." Well, to be just and devout means that he was taking the law seriously, and he meant it in his own life. And he said, "Waiting for the consolation of Israel." Now, we're not going to get into the consolation of Israel tonight, but that's going to be the study for the next time. So, if we're going to go back to the start again, then we got to go back and see what this. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, because it says so here in the notes. And it means this. He says, "May I see the consolation of Israel?" was a Jewish formula of blessing and an adjuration also, because there's another part of this. Because he asked to see the salvation of God for Israel. But he could have said, "May I see it? May I not see it if I speak not the truth?" So it's clear to this verse of Scripture that he saw it. So, he could have said, "No, I don't want to see it." Well, that goes back to the gift again. If you don't have the desire to please God and to make an agreement with Him, then He doesn't have the need to give you anything. Because what He's given to you, it's like pouring it down a hole somewhere, because nothing good is going to become of that. Because what you do when you're buried and you're without Christ, it goes into the hole and it goes back to dust again. What came out of the hole to begin with in Adam? So when he said he was just and devout? Well, he was truthful. And so we'll read on. The Holy Ghost was upon him, verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. The Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he, Simeon, him, Christ, up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, full stop. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Amen. Well, his eyes were open. His eyes were not heavy. His eyes were not closed. He was standing there holding the Son of God in his arms or hands.
Amen.
Eyes wide open, speaking the truth to God. This is which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. So Israel's glory was going to come down to the earth. From heaven. God went back and said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and bring it to you. Okay. And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rise again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And so he realized and he understood the depth that this was here, holding this young child that had been promised all the ages down from basically from Adam on down. There was a lot of places where it said that it was foretold of this one that it would come to take care of your sins. And they just didn't believe it. And the situation with Satan in the garden started all this, and it's still going on today. Some believe and some believe not.
Mm-hmm.
And more believe not, I think, than what do believe. Especially in what we're talking about here. Because, no, I'm not going to die. I'm just going to go on to heaven. No, part of you may go there, but you'll be taken there. It's not, I'm going to go there. That's kind of like what we talked about a while ago about when salvation comes to you, you receive it. It's not you're going to go out and take it. That's not the way it works. And so it's a gift of God. And who he chooses to give it to is, you know, we talk about being judged. Well, if you try to take something, generally you are being judged. But if somebody comes up and hands you something and says, here, this is yours, there's no judgment there. Where are you going to get judgment from? If I had, say I had $1,000 in my pocket and somebody needed it and I went up and gave it to them, they couldn't be taken to jail for that. And that's the way God works. That's the way God works that way. He sends His Son. And if you get it from His Son, then there is no judgment for you. Because He's not going to give you something that He doesn't get credit for. God doesn't work that way. And so, you don't just say, well, I'll choose where I want to go, or I'll choose my hope. No, you won't. It has to go the way that God means for it to go. And so, maybe if you want to change, maybe if you were a Jew and you wanted to change to the mystery of truth, yeah, then that requires something. And so that's the way it works. And that requirement is that you get in step with those that are that way. And that's what we don't have yet. Because when Christ comes back and He does some of this judging and He does away with Satan and He fills His body makes His body up out of the people that has been converted, at that point, as being made up of those that are part of His body, and His body is going to take care of what He wants done, then we have to be in one accord. We can't be doing our own thing. It's not like Ronnie says about old number three driving his race car. He's not driving his race car because that's not what's there. And what's there to be done, I think, are the principalities, powers, mights, and dominions that have been looking at us until Christ returns again fully with His body to the earth. And then we're going to see the great changes take place. The valley of the dry bones are going to come back to life again. And a lot of this stuff comes back again. But you got to turn around and be converted. The conversion is part of the turning around. Because you can't walk away from God and expect a gift. It just don't work that way. I wish it would be that easy, but it's not that easy. But it's not that hard either, because He has given us the privilege and the way of not even having to do that. Because these things God has already taken care of through His Son with the blood and the breath that he gave up for you and me, all of us.
Amen.
And so that's been paid for. It's just up to us to get in position to be able to accept that gift. And folks, that's my study for this night. God bless you all. And I hope everybody here and everybody that will hear this message will get that and understand that and to realize that that's the way it is.